Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the show today. So I am Adrienne Cobb. I'll be your host, and you're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrienne on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we have Anna with us, and she had helped me with my business quite a lot and does social media, and she's recently come out with a new book. So we're going to talk to her about that, get started here a little bit. And with Anna, she coaches businesses and public figures internationally to find strategies and alignment to their business requirements and values. That's the thing. A lot of times what people don't do is they go for the business without the alignment, and it usually creates a lot of messes later. So if you're all about fulfilling your soul blueprint and need help figuring out your social media for your super awesome business idea, then join me and we're going to have this enlightening interview on Spirit Hacks with Anna. So Anna, welcome.
It's so good to be here. And yeah, the more you mentioned the blueprint and when I worked with you, that was a very, very strong concept. And that's why I clicked with working with your content, because yes, our soul blueprint is something we really need to be aware of. And that disalignment, when we miss it out, when we put it aside, when we put it in the shelf, that's when all the trouble happens. That's when we feel void, we feel confused, we feel tired even. Yeah. All of those things happen, and it's as simple and as deep as finding your soul purpose. Yes.
Yeah, it's true, right? So when you're working with people on their alignment, like let's say somebody has an idea and, mm-hmm. you know, we all kind of start out with the idea part of it, right? Something we feel inspired by or whatever. Mm-hmm. A vision. So what's one of the first things that you do when you bring people into alignment to see if they're really on the right page or not?
Well, yeah, the first thing I ask is why they're doing or why they feel they should do what they're doing, because there's something inside us that's pushing us or pulling us to do these things, right? Some people do it because they're good at it, because someone told them they were good this one time or they helped with this something. So the first thing I figure out with them is why they're doing it. Try to figure out what are the values, what's the story, what are the traits, or what is it that led them to choose doing this. And it could be as simple as a book. They're trying to write a book because they felt the urge to talk about, I don't know, how they had an accident and clarity came from that accident and a soul journey started from that place. Or maybe they're starting a business and they're going to start selling clothes or jewelry, mm-hmm. or pancakes, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what you do as much as where it comes from. Why is it that you're inspired to do this thing? Why now? Why is it, what happened around you, within you, in your surroundings, in the place where you live, that made you say, I need to do this now, right? So finding out that story and where it's coming from, that's really the first thing I need to do.
So that sort of speaks a little bit to passion. A lot of times people do say, hey, you know, follow your heart, follow your passion. That's really where you're going to, you know, do well with. I know that there was this, might have actually been on Oprah. She might have had this show once. And it was basically people who were following their passion that she did. And there was this younger girl, and she was, she's like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. But she loved playing guitar. So she figured that maybe what she would do is she would teach people how to play guitar.
Right.
And because she didn't have any experience at it, she just taught herself. It became a number one kind of like best-selling guitar book because it was so simple. Done. It made it very easy for new beginners, or somebody who just had pancake syrup. Speaking of pancakes, you know, mm-hmm. that was another one that she had on our show, was somebody who came up with a syrup that people just loved in her neighborhood. So passion.
Yes, and when you connect a little bit more about those stories, because probably there must be something, especially for the hotcake syrup, right? That there was a family recipe and she decided to try it and make it big, or she found a recipe because she started using ingredients that weren't so often used, or something that there's a trigger that goes along with those passion projects. There's always something bigger, and that's usually where I come in. Because people are so familiar with what they like and what they do that sometimes they haven't really checked what the connections are to their early history, to their family history, to their surroundings, to the things that have really made up who they are. And they just think it's a simple decision or a simple yes or no. And sometimes it's not as simple as should I start a business or not. It's why do you want to do it? What do you want to, what is your role in your becoming that business person, right? Because there's a lot of ways to fulfill your passion and your mission. And sometimes it's not being a business owner. Sometimes that's not really it, but you think that's how you have to play it because you haven't figured out how to fit yourself into a bigger scheme.
Yeah. I know, and for some people, it's going to be just a drive for service. You know what I mean? Like I know for me, when I was a child, like some people know what they want to do when they're little or their parents give them direction. I want you to be a lawyer, a doctor, yes, or whatever. Yeah. And I never had any pressure to be anything, kind of just sort of cruising through, surviving the childhood, right?
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I wanted to do. Like I just, people ask them, like, I just had no clue, right? And then I had a car accident at 15, right? But when I came back from that, the one thing I held on to is that the soul never lies. Like I felt like, gosh, you know, after this kind of experience, I feel like all of a sudden I saw the world very differently and maybe even a little bit jaded almost, you know?
Yeah, right.
The soul doesn't lie. That was my theme. The soul doesn't lie. And so I ended up creating a business and really going into kind of opening up my intuition to work with people. But my entire business is related on listening to a person's soul. And it's evolved over the years, but it was that driven sense of purpose. Because that's the other thing that people can say is I have a passion, but some people say I'm driven with a purpose.
Right.
I'd say I'm probably a little bit more purpose driven. And I do have a passion for what I do, but I could say it's probably more a purpose I feel inclined to have to fulfill inside myself. Like it's a driving force. I cannot not do what I do.
Yeah. And that's actually why
you should talk working.
About. Yes. Yeah. That's why I talk about the push and pull, because sometimes it's something that's pulling you and sometimes it's something that's pushing you. You can feel it in different ways. It's actually the same thing. It's actually
from
the bigger perspective. It's actually the way you respond, right? Some people are actually reactive to things that happen outside of them. And some people flow from within. They're feeling this passion to do this thing. They're feeling that they should do this or that. And some others just react to, I saw that and I thought I needed to help. I thought I needed to be a part of it, right? So that's the push and pull. But it's really an attraction to where you fit in the world.
It is, yeah. So we got passion. So it's all about the heart. I just got it. I have this cause I've just got to do. Then there is the service. But again, it's a driving force of being of service, like it's a purpose-driven sort of life. I'd say another one, though, that I see in people just in my own line of work is also people who are visionaries.
Right.
Like that's, and again, it's not that the other two, purpose and passion, aren't there, but vision seems like its own sort of category. Like people who are visionaries just, again, they have to fulfill the vision or, and they're just a plethora of visions all the time.
Right. And I think the visionary is the most complex because I have to fit myself into that category. I see the big picture and I'm like, oh, if only all these pieces were coming together, I know how this plays out and it's good and it's wonderful. And that's very
I get chills when you say that.
Like, because it happens and it tends to happen with people who are multi-passionate, right? I quote that because it's really the same passion in every different path. It's not that you have different passions. But when you have these things, like I know it came to play with myself because I love music and I love creating and I've always been passionate about spirituality and bigger truths and how we interact with each other, right? So for me, it was very hard to figure out, what do I do with my life? I'm like, I'm good at this and this and this. And I was like, how can I bring these things into play? How do you make this recipe work for me? So I tried different things. And when you're going through that path, sometimes people think like you're lost, or you're erratic, or you're not clear about who you are. And I was very clear about who I was.
Yeah, yeah, you are. You're a very clear person.
You know?
Yeah.
But when you put those things into play, sometimes that's what you end up learning, that you're a visionary and that you see bigger pictures, and that's what your talent is. It's not that you're just a builder or just an artist or just a writer or just a coach or just a teacher. It's that you have this bigger vision of what you would like to be part of.
When I think as a visionary, like there's this recent thing I saw, maybe it was on Gaia actually. And it's basically when you want to manifest a vision in the world, you know, or manifest an idea, you know, you want to look at yourself kind of in three ways. It kind of almost takes three pillars to make an idea work, right? One is the visionary. You have a vision of something. Second is that you know how to organize it and manage it, which not everybody's good at. The third is that it's the person who takes action and does the ongoing work to make it sustainable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times for entrepreneurs, they might be a visionary, but they really need a really good manager to keep everything organized. And they need the other workers to make sure the daily activities get done too.
Yes.
And I happen to have an amazing team right now that I'm working with, that they end up actually doing. We all have a role. We fit into those three things. And so the business works really well because of that. But that's something I think with visionaries, it is a little bit hard sometimes to ground it if you don't, kind of know how to do some of these other three things. So we're going to go to a quick break. And we will be back in just a moment. I'm Adrian with My World Magic with Adrian and Anna, our lovely guests. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404, or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Are you trying to figure out the best way to learn about your life purpose and how to access your soul gifts? Let Adrian Cobb introduce you to the power behind her Wild Magic membership. Adrian's Wild Magic membership is a one-of-a-kind, ongoing monthly program designed to connect you to your own life mastery and to live in a more expanded consciousness with your tribes of light. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
There's a beautiful story of Princess Damayanti and King Nala. It was traditional that a princess chose whom she wanted to marry by placing a garland of flowers around his neck. Damayanti was so beautiful, intelligent, and accomplished that the divine gods themselves wanted to marry her, but her heart already belonged to King Nala. Knowing this, many gods attended the choosing ceremony, perfectly disguised as King Nala. Damayanti, seeing many Nalas seated around the grand hall, became inwardly still and quiet and prayed for guidance. She was blessed by the power of her love to see through the illusion. She placed the garland around the neck of the real King Nala, whom she loved. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, to learn how to let the power of love cut through the illusion. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
I am Adrian, and you're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrian on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we have our guest Anna on, who has written an awesome book that is called The Ultimate Soulpreneur Survival Guidebook. So Anna, can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the book and also how to get it?
Yeah, it was inspired. It sounds strong when you talk about survival. And I really hesitated to use the word, but that's really it. I was talking to so many of my friends who were getting fired from their jobs, who were becoming moms and couldn't find a space in the workforce. And they kept asking me, you've been doing this on your own for a while now. You've never really been employed for a long time. How do you do it? And I found that it was a great moment to talk about how when you're trying to live from your heart, when you're trying to be honest with who you are, when you're trying to love others through your work, it's actually a survival situation where you're at, because you get into a very vulnerable space of who you are, what you believe in, what you stand for. It becomes very raw, and it becomes very challenging to stay happy, to stay sane, to not be depressed, which is usually the trend when you hit rock bottom and when you understand the depth of who you are. Sometimes you feel like the world doesn't accept you or you don't fit in this world, especially when you're very spiritual. You feel like you struggle with the paying the bills and contracts and an industry and a business. And all these things become sometimes even overwhelming to you. Mm-hmm. So I thought, it's time to share. It's time to share what I've gone through, why I've made my choices, where I've learned that it's really even a good business to do what you love, which is not the, it didn't used to be the most famous trend. People didn't used to go to follow your passion. It was great to follow your passion if you were creating a bank, right? Then they would advertise it. But it wasn't great to follow your passion when you're a spiritual mentor. Or great to follow your passion when you're an artist, which is usually the most criticized, right?
Yeah.
If you're a painter, then just paint a house and pay, charge for that, but don't go into painting paintings, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to demystify doing what you love and taking the just romantic vision of it, because it's not just romantic. It's very practical. It's what will bring you happiness, fulfillment. It's what will get you into better jobs that you really feel like you're serving others and growing as a person. So that's why I really wanted to talk about the Soulpreneur Survival Guidebook. You can actually go back to it like that.
Yeah. And then how do people get it?
They can find it on Amazon. It's actually worldwide available on print or Kindle.
Yeah.
So and you then, can find it there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jacob, you'll put it up on the screen for people as well. So, you know, with all that, you know, it seems like a lot of what you're describing, you know, is why a lot of people don't actually fulfill a higher vision and stuff like that, you know, what you're describing and stuff. And I know that when, are you still working with people individually helping them?
Yes. I'm still.
And how would they find you? What's your website?
They can find me at axsantibanez.com. That's my website, and you can find a little bit of my blog, so you can get to know my approach to things, which is also what you can find in the book, why it is that I do the things that I do, why I do value-based marketing and content generation.
Can you spell that for people?
Yes, it's axsantibanez.com.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I know that when I was working with you, one of the reasons that I would really, that I think people will really benefit from the book or working with you personally is that you were helping me at the time as part of my social media team and helping me to get stuff out there. Particularly, it seems like you have a real great gift with Instagram, you know, is really awesome. Still learning curve on that one, but you did teach me a lot about it. But, you know, you have a lot of strength to you, I found, that you're really great at helping somebody to hold a vision and to be very forthright with them. So if this is working, this is not working, it's almost like what you said earlier, I have a vision for something, and if all these parts will come into alignment, I know it could be great. And it's like that knowingness that you had for somebody, or let's say in my energy, it lent so much strength to me to be able to really try to follow through with some things, not try, but to actually follow through with some things. And it's like it helps when somebody holds space for you when you're going up against some of those daily fears that people all have.
Right. Yeah. That was actually that's actually what moves me with my work in mentoring and coaching and in writing the books. It's precisely sharing that that need for support, for strength, for collaboration, for teamwork. And it actually came from working with artists. I used to work with singers here in Mexico and actors. And it was this, it was so beautiful to see their creative process, to see them at the most raw. And then I kept feeling, hey, these people need to be protected. I mean, I see these sharks coming at them from everywhere, trying to get something from them. And they're these very pure souls trying to convey messages and feelings and emotions and stories. And I was like, they need protection, but how do I do that? How do I really provide a service of being their team? And it was listening to them and seeing who they were and what they wanted. Not what the world wanted from them.
I felt very heard and seen by you. And I felt the other thing that you did was you helped to bring out, sometimes when you're in your own beingness, it's hard to kind of see yourself or your gifts. And that was one thing you did was you're like, hey, these are your strengths. Mm-hmm. Why don't you focus on them? And that kind of brings us to one of the areas of the book that I really appreciate is there's only one of you, and it's a complex you. And I do feel like a pretty complex person myself. So tell us a little bit about there's only one of you and it's a complex you.
It comes from alignment, really. It is actually this whole concept that we've been talking about 5D for a long time in the spiritual communities. And if you're not familiar with it, it's really just about alignment. We have a purpose and a vision. But we're living in this 3D world, in this very real, tactable, and spoilable world where a lot of things can happen. And I know that the old mindset was you're this person at work, and you're this person with your friends, and you're this person for these people. And that's not truth. You are one person. You are this one you. Wow. There's only one of you.
Yeah. So instead of compartmentalizing your life, which actually fractures your power and your gifts, instead of
it's bring it all together. You're all of those things. You're always a spiritual being, not just when you're praying or meditating. You're always spiritual. You're always connecting to the spirits of things and people and animals around you. They're not just there as a biology experiment every now and then. They're not just there in the National Geographic places. They're always there. They also are the one them, right? So it's when you acknowledge that you're a professional and a mom or a daughter or a friend or a sister or a neighbor, you're all those things at the same time, but it's you. It's always you. You don't need to put a facade on. You don't need to do this adjusting yourself to fit into different things. It's just showing up as yourself, but as your full self. You cannot compartmentalize.
And so in the beginning, you said that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're not in alignment, you know, with your purpose, you just feel tired. And I'd imagine this is a big reason we feel tired, because we fractured so much of ourselves trying to be something for somebody else versus just being who we are for ourselves.
And it actually came
that freedom.
Yeah, it became very evident when we had the lockdowns all around the world for COVID, because people who would actually be used to compartmentalizing, they were actually in the same space, fulfilling all the same roles at the same time. They were the mom and the cleaner and the teacher and all the things at the same time. And that's why I thought about talking about it at that time, because I'm like, now you're getting it. You're one person and you have 24 hours to do all these things and you're just occupying this space. Yeah. So you don't have the luxury that we usually have of when I'm at that place, I'm someone else. If I go to the store, I'm someone else. If I am in my office, I'm someone else. No, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people were overwhelmed actually by this, because they realized they were everything all the time. And it's like, what's that? Well, that's who you are.
That's a great evolution of our humanity. One of the blessings maybe that has come from COVID, it's kind of upgraded a lot of things. And bringing us back maybe to that oneness is a big one. I love how you're bringing that together.
And it actually allowed for a lot of changes, and we're seeing it in the world right now. Even the workspaces and office spaces are adapting into home office because people realize, wait a minute, so I can actually take care of my garden and my family and enjoy living and work. I can do that, and I can show up at my best. Not at the same time. We do still need to plan and schedule. We cannot do everything at the same time. But it allowed us to be also humble in the fact that we cannot grow food all the time by ourselves, right? We need someone to do it for us. Mm-hmm. We cannot become this know-it-alls and do-it-alls all the time. And that's something that we were actually going for before COVID. We were very prone to I'm a solopreneur. I can do it all on my own. No, you're really good at something and maybe you could do it all on your own. Mm-hmm. But what if you let that person that's super passionate about editing to do the editing? And that person who's super passionate about numbers to do the numbers.
Yeah.
And that person who's super passionate about dealing with people all day long to go do the dealing with people all day long. Maybe you love people, but not that much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. True that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that. You know, a lot of times when I'm working with the Soul Blueprint with people, I'm always like, hey, you're your own unique little snowflake in the world, and you need to get your little snowflake, you know, twinkle toes on here because you're the only one. Like, if you'll just acknowledge you are the only one, no matter how many people are, you know, doing social media, no matter how many people are playing guitar, no matter how many people are a chef in a kitchen, you're your own unique style of that. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. So we're going to go to a quick break. You're listening to Adrienne with My World Magic on Transformation Talk Radio. We have Anna on with us, Anna Santopas, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things aren't calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy, and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Excuse me, did you say Sanskrit? Yes, absolutely. Sanskrit is the language of the universe. The word Sanskrita means pure and perfectly formed. When we're still, open and receptive, we may hear a still small voice within. We feel a simple resonance with this universal language, and we just know that the voice is true. That inner voice speaks to us in a language that is always pure and perfectly formed. It's Sanskrita that speaks to us out of the silence. Sanskrit is also the name of a language that is found in dictionaries and great works of profound wisdom. It's the closest reflection of that perfect universal language. Study of this powerful language can lead us to an understanding of that perfect inner voice. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this true inner voice of the soul together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Thank you.
Welcome. I am Adrienne with, you're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrienne on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we have Anna Santibez on. We're talking about her new book, The Ultimate Soulpreneur Survival Guide. And you can go to her website, annasantibez.com, to check out some of the services she offers. If you're looking for a boost in your business, you can also get The Ultimate Soulpreneur Survival Guidebook on Amazon. And we were just talking about, she lives down in Mexico City. She was just saying there's 30 million people in Mexico City. I just can't even imagine. Like, it's just like, whew, goes right over my head. I can't even imagine 30 million people in one place, one tiny little city. But what we were also talking about is one of the other topics in her book that I'm so fascinated about is the new love economy. Yes. So tell us a little bit about the love economy.
Well, it's actually very, it seemed when I was choosing the title of the book, that was going to be the title of the book, Welcome to the Love Economy. But I didn't want to scare people because love is a very strong word. And people seem to think that it's this rosy feeling and it's just impractical and ethereal and whatever. And it's not. If you root the whole economy in love, there's a whole change. And I'm an economics professional. I actually graduated from college in economics. So wow. I read the books. I know Adam Smith. I know Karl Marx. I know how it works. I know the models. And it was always very interesting to me that people skipped through some of the parts of Adam Smith's text and they demonized him. And I was like, wait a minute, people, did you skip the one phrase that stuck to me where he says that if you do things based on what's the best you can do, then things flow naturally well. Yeah. I was like, that's love. If you're doing what you love through love with love, then everything flows and you get good prices and you get this efficiency that everyone's talking about and that economists throw off all over the place and business people talk about efficiency and efficiency. What the heck is efficiency? What the heck is equilibrium and what are prices? How are prices set? Mm-hmm. So I talk a little bit about economics in the book because I want to make sure that people who don't know what economics are like, they understand it. They understand the rules of the game because that's the number one thing. Economics rules the world and we don't know what the rules are. Most of the people in the planet have no idea how this game is run.
It's true. And I mean, most people aren't really taught great money consciousness to begin with. And as you get a little older, it's good to learn new things to kind of upgrade your money consciousness.
Right.
And I think the best way you could upgrade your money consciousness is going to be with the energy, like you said, of love, you know?
Right.
I really love Lynn Taggart, a lot of her work that she brings out, The Soul of Money.
Right.
She really talks about, you know, it's like it's the giving, it's the doing it with that heart, doing it with a higher purpose. You know, it just all kind of flows.
Yeah. And I really came in touch with a lot of very soul-minded people when I was in college, and they were running huge businesses, which was very astonishing for me. Because growing up, I thought business was greedy. If you were doing well in business, it was because you were mean to people and you were robbing them from something.
Well, that's another big upgrade in our belief system is that people with money are power hungry, greedy, horrible people. I mean, that's a big upgrade in our consciousness that people with money can be generous, kind, soulful, good, help the earth.
Exactly. So as I was meeting these new business people who were talking about helping others and all the chances that they were giving and how they were concerned about the environment, I was like, wait a minute, and you're making a profit?
Yeah.
And you're thought of as a business leader? Why are people not talking about you?
Yeah.
You're doing all these great things. And when you really talk to them one-on-one, which was, I was very fortunate that I could talk to them and ask them deep personal questions, it was because of their faith. They didn't compartmentalize who they were in the business and outside. Hmm. Most of them were Christians and they were actually living their faith. They were actually helping others. Their business was not robbing anyone of their integrity, of their family time, of their health. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a new world. How do you do this? Right?
Yeah.
So, but it's really about that. if you really love yourself, you're not going to get a job that stresses you all the time and doesn't allow you to do the things you love.
Right.
You cannot do that to yourself. And you cannot do it to others because you want others to do, like if you're a cashier at a bank register or something like that, you want others to feel seen, to feel important, even if you're just counting their money and receiving their traumas. You really want to be good and nice to them. And you need to love what you're doing, at least at that moment, to do it right. So if you base what you do in love for yourself, for others, for the planet, for the community, it just works well. You're going to be the best cashier. You're going to be the best at whatever you do because you're doing it from a place of love towards yourself and others.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I find the only time I kind of break down sometimes, like I love what I do, helping people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I just have like a bad day where I'm just kind of breaking down and so I'm like, I've got to go inward or whatever. It has nothing to do with what I do or the people. It's just because something that like, I just need time just to internally process something. Mm-hmm. And I think if a lot of people just took more time to, you know, internally process and come back home to themselves and honor that because they probably are giving a lot over here. You got to make sure you have that balance in your own personal life.
That's precisely it. Sometimes we forget because we're doing stuff and we're really good at doing it and it feels great, right?
Yeah.
But then your own self says, hey, I need a timeout.
Yeah.
I need a break. You overdid it. You need to come to yourself. You need to nourish yourself. You need to connect with your purpose again. Sometimes we're so caught up in doing things that you don't realign. And that's something that I've become very aware of. Whatever deity you believe in, whatever higher power you believe in, it doesn't really matter as long as you go back and check with it every now and then. If you're just talking about the force of the universe, perfect. Yeah. That's, you need to go back to it because things change. Things are not static. So your purpose, the bigger mission, will be there. But sometimes what you thought was perfectly clear now needs an adjustment. Now that thing that you were doing needs to change a little bit.
Yeah, and it's part of the alignment. You know, it seems like your whole book, part of your whole, you know, survival guidebook here is on that inner alignment. And I have found no matter what you do, as long as you keep connected to that source energy, flows all the way through you to that new earth energy back up, and you just keep yourself in that vertical alignment, you're going to know day to day, person to person, whatever you're at, you're in flow. It's like you're on this, you're surfing that universal flow energy then.
And it's so perfect. I've witnessed it so much in my life. When I was talking to you about, I love doing this and I love doing that. When I was doing social research and I was working with government projects way, like five lifetimes ago.
Yeah.
When I started working with them, then suddenly one day in the airport, I run into a singer and I talked to her for 20 minutes. And I started listening to what she had to say. And I understood, hey, I want to do this. If I had not taken the time to listen, I wouldn't have been able to reconnect with the fact that I knew about music since I was 5 years old. And I know about management because I learned it in college. And I know about the music industry because I just happened to know about it. Mm-hmm. So I could connect those pieces, but only because I took the time to say, wait, should I change my path? And what does that look like?
So that is a really good point. So for people who are visionaries, like some people just are a little bit lost in their own, like the projections of their childhood or society or whatever. And then some people are visionaries and have so many ideas they don't know what to do. But either side of the spectrum, you don't really quite know how to narrow it down. I think that's a big thing. I mean, how would you help somebody or suggest to somebody to narrow down when they do have either so many projections coming at them or and they don't know themselves or they have so many ideas and any one of them could be great. How do you?
The first thing is to know that whatever you do, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You won't be wrong. Even if the next step that you take isn't as successful as you expected, or the next step shows you that that was not the path, don't be afraid, but you just need to take that step. You need to do it. If you stay only in ideas, in concepts, in fear, in projections, nothing's going to happen. So the first thing you need to do is check and align. where is this coming from? Why do I feel like I need to do this? Why do I feel like I want to do this? Okay, I feel it. I don't have the clarity, but I just have this idea that it will help these people, or it will help me understand this. Get that clarity and choose a first step, well, whatever it is.
And that sounds like that's one of the topics in your book is, mm-hmm. which is early on, is get clear about your why and your how. Why are you doing it?
Precisely, yeah. Because it's this why and how that gives you the really deep, oh, okay, I feel like I'm going to do this. Okay, now what's the first step? Talk about it to someone, write it down as a business plan, do a drawing of what it will look like. Whatever it is, get it out of your head and out of your system. Just put it out in the real world. If it's a conversation, if it's mapping it out, if it's drawing it, if it's recording it as a voice note, whatever it is, get it out of your system so that you can see it outside of yourself.
That is excellent. I love that. And I think that, you know, just journaling it, just sitting down, yeah. and I'm just, you know, journaling. And a lot of times for me, what I'll do when I journal is I'll journal to my tribe of light, or I'll journal to an angel. I'll journal to something that I feel like I'm kind of talking to, like a higher power, my higher self. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, okay, I've got this idea. And I usually always ask the question, what's the highest truth?
Right.
You know what I mean? And as I'm going yep. through, you're writing, but you will find you'll kind of dump out the energy that's not really true. And you do end up finding what it is, like you said, just expressing yourself, talking it out, writing it out. Yeah, beautiful.
Right. Because usually it's clearer than you know. And all the stuff that's making it unclear are your fears, your doubts, the things that you don't manage as well, the not knowing the industry or the place where you want this to happen. And that stops you, and you're doing way too much self-criticism. It stops you from really doing what you love.
To do anything at all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gosh, brilliant. Love it. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Anna and her new book, Soulpreneur.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We are on My Wild Magic with Adrienne, and I am Adrienne. Today we have Anna Santabez on with us, and she has her new book out here. That is the Ultimate Soulpreneur Survival Guidebook. And you can find that on Amazon. You can also look at other services that she offers at axsantibanez.com. To check out more of what she does. And we are talking about the energy of being a solopreneur and also the love economy. And we were just kind of talking about how in that love economy, how it's not only just you taking your love and putting it into a product or a service and offering, there's love that's just coming out of you and flowing into your immediate community. But it also, when you start interacting with love, it really upgrades the energy into the entire collective consciousness that we're all interacting with. And it starts to literally create a new economy, a new morphogenetic field that we're all connected to for the love economy as well. And one of the things I'd studied is Ken Honda, and he's Japanese. He works a lot with money and stuff like that. But one of his things, it's a favorite thing, and man, it works really well, is that every time you give or receive money, think about money, bless money, whatever, you just say arigato. Mm-hmm. And that's just thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you. It's happy money, basically. And so the love economy reminds me of all of us upgrading, transmuting even the energy of money, whether it's credit cards, cash, Bitcoin, stocks, you know, whatever it is that deals with money. It is a field of consciousness. And when you're bringing Anna's kind of concept into it, we're all upgrading money consciousness to be a more purified field, like arigato, just to say right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for receiving and giving.
Yeah, and that's actually, I talk a lot about gratitude in the book because gratitude really did change my mindset. It really made a difference in the way I approached business because I became very grateful. Every client I got happy about it. I would be so grateful that I would learn more about them, about their work, about what they were bringing to the world. I was grateful that I could bring their work to the world. So every time I would get a little bit tired or frustrated or something happened with the tech, which always happens, I could go back to, okay, wait. Yes, this is overwhelming. Yeah, this didn't go right. But hold on. What are you grateful about with this work situation, this client, this relationship, this whatever? And it just expands you in a different way. So the love economy is really bringing what you were saying, that gratitude is part of the love that you feel for what you're doing. And it brings it to the whole system. It brings it to when you're working with whatever you're working, when you're walking in the street, interacting with people, when you're buying a product or a service.
Yeah. And that's
when
a big
one. Do it from love. Yeah.
Yeah. When people don't always think about it, but I'm buying these groceries, arigato. I am donating money or, you know, to a cause, arigato. I am paying my taxes, arigato. I'm paying a bill, a credit card bill, arigato. I mean, thankfully you have the money. You know what I mean? That it all, and it creates this big circle of happy, happy money.
Love and you're economy. Also, yeah, you're infusing with love that money that you're giving, even when you're paying the taxes. Because if you understand that when you're giving that money will go into someone who needs a hospital, someone who needs the paved road, someone who needs water, someone who needs an authority to lead the process. If you're infusing your tax money with love, then it will. I promise you might not see it, and you might not see it immediately. But the ripple effect of how it is welcomed by the other is really, really powerful.
It so is. So that kind of brings us to another topic in your book, is let go of your fear and flow from love. So what would you tell us about that?
Well, it actually connects a little bit with this because there's two ways where you have to work because otherwise you're going to starve, right? Many people say, I wouldn't work if I didn't need to work. Well, that's not true. You would work in something. Even if you didn't need the money, you would do something with your time. So if you take that negative connotation out of work and stop working because you're going to go poor or you're not going to have anything to eat or people are going to criticize you or whatever, if you take that negative energy out of it and start saying, I'm working because I love what I do. I am working because this is going to give me money to eat. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing for me to love my job, even if it's cleaning, whatever. Mm-hmm. I am doing it because this is going to be something good. A lot of good is going to come from it. I'm going to have money to pay my bills, to feed my family, to go on vacation, to travel, to just buy that stuff that makes me happy, that wonderful meal that makes me happy and healthy, that will nourish my body to allow it to keep working, right? Mm-hmm. We're just not aware of how each and every one of the choices that we do throughout the day, from our office hours to the products that we eat, to the content that we watch, to the relationships that we have on social media, we're just not aware of how much of us goes mm-hmm. into them and how much of other people goes into them.
Yeah. And, you know, money is kind of an abstract thing, truly. Yep. I mean, it's nothing that we want to give all of our power away to, mm-hmm. on the other hand, right? But it was going to be something. Like because we're in a collective consciousness, we would have always had something to exchange with one another. And so in its purest
form, it's a token of value, really.
Yeah. And in its purest form, it's that exchange of love. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, then in a mm-hmm. more physical form, it might be the service we're rendering, the action we're taking, right? Mm-hmm. And then that kind of leads into maybe the exchange of whatever form money might take. It just happened to be something we call money, but it could have literally been anything else.
Exactly.
It was going to be something that collectively caused us to exchange energy and to evolve as a soul on the planet by having relationships with one another and exchanges of energy.
That's really why it connects into love economy, because economics, it's an exchange of value. Mm-hmm. And value is love. Love is value. The love you put into it, the love that flows through you gives you value itself. You're valuable because you exist, not because of what you do. You yeah. are in yourself valuable. So when you're interacting with someone, that's an exchange of value.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't necessarily have a high sense of self-value, self-confidence, self-love. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to that? You know, when we're coming from something, and it's just a common phenomenon at this point in time, you know, that a lot yep. of people don't have a lot of.
Yeah, I actually have an exercise in my website and in part of the book, which is write a list of all the people that you've engaged with. And go back all the way to kindergarten, mm-hmm. to the first people that you engage with, and start noticing how many people you've actually collaborated with in one way or another. And you'll start noticing that people have been touched by you, that your value and your presence in their lives has made a difference. Even the people that you've made angry, there's a reason you made them angry that is actually a positive thing in the yeah. bigger scheme of things. Right. And if you have those yearbooks or things that you have, notes from the past from your family or people who care about you, go back and read them. Because sometimes we forget about those little tiny things. Mm-hmm. And when you're having one of those days where you're like totally feeling out of place, totally misunderstood, mistreated, out of alignment, sometimes reconnecting with what others see in you allows you to say, oh yeah, right, I'm really good at that. Yeah, I really enjoyed that trip. I really enjoyed playing in Little League. I really enjoyed this different things that you forget about yourself. Like in my case, it was music. I've loved music for so long that I didn't even think I could work on it.
Yeah,
and it wasn't until someone said it that I was like, yeah, maybe I'm actually good at this.
Yeah, right. True, yeah.
Right? So sometimes you need to do that, to sit down. And yes, the alignment comes from above, from the higher power. But we have a lot of angels around us mm-hmm. that point us in the right direction when we need the actual words to be said, right? Or the actual pat on the back or the actual touch on the shoulder. Sometimes we really do need the physicality of it. And sometimes we just need to reconnect and it just comes back into place.
I mean, I just wake up in a good mood pretty much most every morning just by doing that alignment to my source, drawing it all the way down and back up again. So, well, Anna, this has just been an awesome interview with you. I've loved having you on. I love your book. And again, I hope everybody goes and checks that book out on Amazon. Again, that title of it is The Ultimate Soulpreneur Survival Guidebook. And if you're interested in any of Anna's services, you can find her website at ax, SANTIBANEZ.com to check out more of what she offers. I've worked with her personally, can't say enough good things about her and how she just sort of helps to get your business off the ground, kind of like a rocket on that level.
Thank you.
Do have a new course coming up November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. If you're interested, shoot me an email at adrian@mywildmagic.com. It is working with bringing all 12 of your chakras into harmony with the new earth energy. So we got this new earth energy and we want to get those, all 12 of those chakras up and flowing. So check
Speaking
that
of
out.
Alignment. Yeah,
exactly. Definitely. Alignment.
Yep.
So mywildmagic.com or adrian@mywildmagic.com. Okay. So thank you so much for joining us today, Anna.
Thank you for the space.
We'll for sure be in touch.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrian Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.